Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because it is in the scriptures that we're going to look at. But I'm doing something a little bit different today. Because when we come to the day of resurrection day, we always want to hear as when Jesus was rose from the dead in that empty tomb. But today I want to present yourself something is extremely different. And I just pray through it, we will learn through it, through the scriptures. We gather here every single week. Not because society tells us to. Not because if a family member tells us to go to church. We gather here because we experienced the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our lives, and we found Jesus. That's why we gather here week after week, day after day, as we unite ourselves. We believe without question that Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, and is the life. We believe that Jesus Christ has done on his cross and is his resurrection. And some of you are here today on this Resurrection Sunday saying we are going to hear another message of the resurrection. And I'm not going to learn anything new, but I can tell you something. When God's word is going to be preached, you and I are going to learn something new this morning because God's word is active and alive today because we serve a risen Lord. His word is not just from a novel. It's from the word of God. And it's God breath to his people. And it's there for you and I this morning. So some of you came here this morning. It's been a long time you haven't come to an Easter service. And you might say, what is, you know, these questions I got to ask. What about this empty tomb? What about this resurrection? What is this all about this morning? And I pray through as the end of the service, we will look through the scriptures and see what is all this resurrection all about. However, some of you came this morning with questions in yourself and asking yourself this question. Why do some people have their life all figured out and they understand what it means to be at peace? It understands what it means to be happy and joyful. Some of you might have this question. Why do my loved one have to die with cancer? Some of you might have this question, what is it sometimes couples get married and have children and multiple children and some families don't have any children at all? What about our suicidal? The suicidal rate is going increasing day by day. When we look at this, these are some questions we ask. And some of you are even here this morning, cured since last Sunday, and you can't even find an answer that something had happened to you in the past, and you're still trying to figure out what has just happened. And today you're here again having the same question. But Jesus has done a miracle before his resurrection. And I believe he did so for us that we can celebrate the Resurrection Sunday today. We can understand what Jesus was teaching us. Jesus had a friend, and his friend was Lazarus. And that's what we're going to look at today, the Lazarus story. We have heard this story many times. We've seen the Easter play as Lazarus came out of that tomb. But there's something extremely important what Jesus had to do at that particular moment when Lazarus had to come out of that tomb. You know, I'm not giving you the answer now. Because I want you to wait until the end. When Jesus had heard that Lazarus was sick and died, he didn't go right away. He waited 2 more days, the scripture tells us. He waited 2 more days. And it ended up being, on the side note of this, it doesn't mean that Jesus caused this death. He was going to use this story. Just because God allows something, it doesn't mean he caused something. I don't know what happened to Lazarus. Maybe it was a heart attack. Maybe it was diabetes. Maybe it was something, a stroke, whatever it is. But the scripture tells us that he was dead. He died. He was in that tomb. And I'm reminded, and we have no explanation of all this. At times we go through hardships in life. At times people die with car accidents. At times people, things happen in life. And sometimes we have no explanations about this. People just die. And Lazarus is in that tomb. And I don't know why he's there, but we know he was sick and he was there and he's in that tomb now. And I'm reminded in John chapter 11, this is what we're going to be looking at today. All John chapter, not all of it, but starting at verse 17 and on, we're going to look at it together today. And I'm reminded that John chapter, that God allows pain in your life, in my life, so then he can receive glory through your life. And I'm realizing that. It might be confusing for some of you, but verse 4, it actually tells us that. When Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God. I have a hard time understanding that, but it is for the glory of God. God knows what he's doing. He is in control. He's in control of this world. He's in control of your life, and he's in control of my life this morning. John chapter 11, verse 17, we'll look at this. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. I've said before, he waited 2 more days for him to go and see Lazarus at the tomb. And we looked at, we waited 4 days because they just wanted to wait for all the spirits so we know that he was dead, that he would not come back to life. You and I have heard stories of people die one day, and the next day they go back to life and they're alive again. But they waited 4 days so the spirit would flee, would leave that place, and that we know that that corpse is dead. It's no more living. So God, Jesus, waited 4 more days because he wanted to prove a point right here. He wanted to show that he is the way. He is the resurrection and the life. That's the point of all the story here. And many Jews believed that the soul remained near the body for 3 days. So that's why he waited the 4th day. Job 11 and verse 18 to 21. Let's read it again. Bethany, the next slide. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. That's a key word right there. Mary remained seated in the house. She wasn't too happy. Lord. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You get the idea. I get the idea that Martha took Jesus as a friend at this point right here. And Martha was hurt. Martha was feeling the pain that Lazarus was dead. So we get hurt. And when we get hurt, our emotions kick in. And sometimes our emotions can spread forth and people can actually see what you're actually going through. When I get hurt and when I'm a little bit upset, the sign for me is you're going to see my lip flipping. Is when you see my lip flipping, oh, the pastor's upset now. Some people, as the ears turn red. Some people, the cheeks turn red. Some people react in different ways. Everybody, there's emotion just come up for it because you're upset. And Martha's not too happy right here. If you just came, my brother, Lazarus, would not die. But it's not, he's dead now. Why did you take so much time? Martha was disappointed by Jesus coming late to see Lazarus. Remember, she had a special relationship with him. She fed him at the house. She served him at everything that she had. And this is how she wanted to be treated by Jesus. She didn't want to be. She wanted Jesus to come right away as if he can do a miracle. But let me ask you, did you ever feel disappointed in your life? It's okay to admit it. We are safe. We're in the house of God. Is there a time that you feel disappointed by Jesus? That you were waiting and you were waiting and it took so much time and you felt that disappointed. It says, Jesus, where are you? I need you now. You're not responding to my prayer. You're not responding to my cry. What is going on, Lord? And did you ever feel that Jesus was late? Martha was feeling, come on, you should have come a little bit faster, but why you're late? And we at times feel the same way. We're human, just as Martha. John 11, verse 23, 24. The words, the uncomfortable words which Christ gave to Martha. Says, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, these are wonderful words of encouragement to Jesus, to Martha. See, there are two sets of people right here. The Jews were divided in their understanding. The teachers of the day had their mindset. So one didn't believe in the resurrection at all. And one believed in the resurrection that someday the bodies were going to be raised. As when we look at 1 Thessalonians. As when the dead in Christ and the church were raised before the Lord. And meet up in heaven. So she was probably thinking that way. Yeah, I know he's going to die and he's going to be in heaven. He's going to be resurrected in life. But she fully didn't understand what Jesus was trying to bring here in verse 23 and 24. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. And Martha said, I know that he will rise again. Because she was looking at that day when he died and he's going to go with Jesus again. He's going to go in heaven. Martha probably thought it was just a test to see which side that she was going to be on. But Jesus was not making a comment here. He was introducing a new theology. Because in verse 25 is you will find the answer. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this? That's the question. Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? That's the new theology. That's the theology what Jesus was trying to bring to Martha. If you believe this, that I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus, not only did he come on this earth and place himself on the cross, and if it was just that, it was just going to be a story by itself. But Jesus placed himself on the cross. He went inside that tomb. They put him in that tomb. And 3 days later, that tomb is empty. That tomb is empty. And that's why you and I have this hope, because the tomb is empty today. He is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Jesus didn't just rise from the grave, like I said. He is the resurrection. He is the life. And then if we look on in verse 27, it tells us this. Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into this world. Who comes into the world. Now she started to believe with her heart. I believe you are the Messiah. If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, if you believe that Jesus died and raised from the dead, he is going to give you life. He is going to give you life. Things that are dead in your life, things that are corrupt in your life, he will raise it up because he is the life. He is the only one that can resurrect things that are dead. I'm getting there. Mary and the other sister was broken. The other sister, Mary, now she was broken. Remember, this was Mary who washed Jesus' feet. Mary was the one that was in Jesus' feet, listening and learning and loving at the feet of Jesus. While Martha was preparing the food, Mary was there, right there at Jesus' feet. So they asked for her, go get Mary. The teacher, go get Mary. And then they went to see Mary and they said, the teacher's looking for you. So Mary goes. Mary goes now. And he goes and she goes and speaks to Jesus. However, this text, we see that Mary was hurt. But the most telling verse about the passage we get to see is Jesus' heart. And if Jesus had a heart towards Mary and Martha, Jesus has a heart towards you and me this morning. He's seen the hurtness of the heart of Mary. And Jesus sees the hurtness of your heart this morning. The hurtness and the pain of my heart this morning. He sees it. Verse 33-35. When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews had come to with her crying, he was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. "Where have you put him?" he asked. "Lord," they told him, "come and see." In the shortest verse of the Bible is Jesus wept. And at times we misunderstood this scripture right here. Jesus wept because he knew the heart and the pain that she was going through. And Jesus wept. Isn't that so amazing to see the God of the universe? The God who created the heaven and this earth. The God who created the stars. The God who shaped the clouds. The God who knows all the names of the stars is weeping. Wow. It's an incredible story that Jesus is weeping for the ones whose heart are broken this morning. Some people might say he doesn't cry. The scripture tells us he wept. It's powerful. It reminds me that no pain in your life and in my life has ever escaped his notice, because he cares for you. He cares for me. Whenever a doctor gives you the bad news and you go home in pain, he's going home in pain, and he cares for you. When you lose your job and you're searching for a job for a long time and you're struggling with finances, he cares. His pain is there the way you're going through that pain. When your children are going through a hard time and you're suffering with pain and agony, and there's nights that you don't sleep and there's evenings you don't sleep and just weep before the Lord, he's weeping with you. The God who cares. That's the God that we serve this morning. That's the God that we serve this morning. The one, even for the one who hurt you, the one who have hurt you, that you were supposed to be the most loving person of your life, the one who have loved you the most betrayed you. And when you are hurt, when your heart is broken, he sees that and he weeps with you. And why does he care for you and I? Because he's willing to die for you and I. And he did die for you and I. That's why. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me and raised from the dead. He experienced those pains. He experienced the sorrow. He experienced all that. He experienced the rejection. He experienced the abandon. He experienced the betrayal. He experienced the suffering. He experienced the beatings. He experienced the slap in the face, the way we at times experience. So why not go to the risen Lord? And he's the one who's going to raise you up again to allow you to be what you're called to be. Remember, we are Christians. We are sons and daughters of God. And he wants us to live victorious. He wants us to live victorious, but there's something extremely important that you and I have to look at this story today. I shared all that. The negative part, maybe the discouraging part for some of you, but I can tell you the encouragement part for this Easter Sunday is just around the corner. 38-39, then Jesus, angry in himself, he is angry now, again. That means he was angry on verse 33, but now he's again. Came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. It was a stone against it. And here's the verse 39. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, he's already decaying." It's been 4 days. You got to see the word remove the stone, and it comes so big. Remember when Jesus' stone was removed, and they went inside, and Simon Peter went inside, he was not there. Jesus said, remove the stone. And then you and I know the rest of the story. He called Lazarus, come forth. And he was raised from the dead. There are tombs that are stopping our lives to be resurrected. And Jesus tells us, remove that stone and I'll give you life. Remove that stone and you will resurrect once again. Remove that stone. Remove that doubt. Remove that circumstance. Remove that financial problem. Remove whatever it is in your place, because I'm ready to resurrect you again. The empty tomb has a powerful thing for us. He's not there. You can search all you want. He is not there, because he is alive today, and he is well today, and he's among us. We're here walking among us, waiting to remove that tomb in our lives. If you want to be resurrected again. I was talking to Brother Joseph today. I'm going away from the notes a little bit a second. When Simon Peter went in that tomb, to Jesus that was not there. If you read John chapter 20, read it all and read it slow. There's something extremely important in John chapter 20. When they found the linen and the cloth, when Simon Peter went there to find the linen and the cloth, wow, look at this amazing thing. I think some of us must have even overlooked at that. When they went in, the linen was there, and the cloth was beside it, and the cloth was folded. There's a meaning to it. The Hebrew men, when they're sitting around their tables, and the servant is from a distance watching, when they're having their dinner or supper, whatever you want to call it, if they take the cloth, and when they're finished with that cloth, they wipe off their beard, because they all have beards, wipe off their beard and so forth. If he just throws it that way, he's finished to eat. But if he folds it that way and puts it beside that plate, it's the significance to the servant that he's not done. He will be back. That thing was there, and Jesus came back, and Jesus will come back to take up his church, because he is alive today and well today. That place was folded because it's a significance for you and I. I am the only one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Isn't it a powerful thing when we look at that cloth? He is coming back. Oh, man. Let me get back to my notes. Bible tells us that he was angry to himself. Again, in verse 33, he says he was angry in his spirit. It's reminded that Jesus is not satisfied with the pain in our lives. This world is a mess. It's out of God's design, and our God's not happy about that. The fact of the whole reason is we're celebrating Easter is because he wanted a redeemed, fallen world. Jesus hates the brokenness of your life just as much as you do. Psalm 56, verse 8. You yourself have recorded my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. And they not in your records? Are they not in your records? I don't know what it really means, this verse, but I do believe it's true. God cares. Before Lazarus walked out of that tomb, Jesus had to call, remove that tomb. Remove it, because he is ready to come out. And you can learn something else about that tomb right there. You can learn something else. When Lazarus came out, we saw Trey doing that at the Easter play, and he came out, and then he says, unwrap him. Oh, yes. Unwrap him. You know what he tells us at times? There are people around this world who are dead, and they come to church dead, spiritually dead. And when you unwrap that person, you welcome him into the house of God. They're dead. They're down. They're tied down. But Jesus says, take away, remove that stone. And you know the rest of the story. He called him out. Lazarus came out and resurrected. He was alive. Easter celebration. Easter celebration that Jesus removing the stone. The question for us this morning. What are the stones? What are the stones that need to be removed in your life so you can truly enjoy joy, peace as God intended you to enjoy it? Is it a stone of doubt? Is it a stone of confusion? Is it a stone of forgiveness? Is it a stone of anger? Is it a stone of worries or frustrations? What stone is it that needs to be removed in your life this morning? Is it a stone of addiction? Is it a stone of anger? Whatever it may be, Jesus is saying, remove it. Some of you have deep pain this morning, and it's so deep that Jesus is weeping with you, and that's why he came, so he can remove that stone of your life, and you can be free from that tomb this morning. You can enjoy peace. You can enjoy joy. You can enjoy life with our risen Lord this morning, because he is alive and well today. The resurrection broke the cycle of death. He came for the bruised and the broken. For the neglected and the abused, for the angry and the forgotten, the confused and the rejected, the worried and the afraid. Jesus is alive. So that stone can be removed from your tomb because he has risen. That's why we're here today. We're here today to celebrate our risen Lord. At the first song that we sung today, and we said, celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. We got to celebrate because Jesus is alive today. And he is ready to give you life today. Life makes no sense without the cross and the resurrection. The more we are living in this world, the more it's getting confusing into this world. Jesus removed that stone so you and I can be freed. And I don't know why this message this morning, but God placed this message. It might not be for every one of you this morning, but it has to be for someone this morning. I know that God prepared this day and has ordained this day for some individuals to accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Some of you might need to go back with Christ. Some of you might need to go back because you're backslidden for years with Christ, without Christ serving the Lord. And God is calling out to you this morning, and the Lord is weeping before you and saying, remove that tomb because I want to raise you again. Let me tell you something that this morning some of you here need to remove your grave clothes. It's time to remove your grave clothes. It's time to remove that stone in your life. And there's two audiences here this morning that I'm speaking to. There's first one who would never choose to believe that there's have never been a time that you haven't believed in the resurrection. This is a serious business. In fact, this is life and death. It matters. What are the odds of your life that you can die today? Ever think of that? All of us will die one day, you like it or not. Next verse. Next slide, please. No one has the authority over the wind to restrain it. And there is no authority over the day of death. There is no forloth in battle, and wickedness will not allow those who practice it to escape it. You cannot outrun death. You can run all you want. You can go to any doctor you want and you can pop up all those pills you want. You can go to dietitians. You can go everywhere you want. It gives you a better quality of life. But at the end, you all die. We're going to corrupt one day and we're just going to die. We don't want to think of it, but I know that I serve a risen Lord. Oh yeah, I serve a risen Lord, that this death is going to finish. This life is going to finish one day, but I know I have this hope. I have this hope in Jesus' name that one day I will be with him serving the Lord in heaven, having supper with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Ooh, I'm getting excited. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Do you know 2 people die each second? One, two, one, two, one, two. Right now, it's going 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. 6,000 people die each day. Oh, Lord. 144,000 die each day. No, sorry, 6,000 people die each hour. 144,000 die each day. And 57 million people die each year. What are the odds for us? Isn't that scary? You can look at the stats. You can go on and probably even higher. You're going to get scared. How do you want to go look anymore? No matter what you do, even the greatest doctor can give you all the pills, like I said before. People can give you the best advice. How to live a better quality. My dad has a pacemaker and he's living like his heart is pumping. And you see it. You can just have a good quality life. He's getting there. But the body's decaying. One day, he has to go. One day, I have to go. One day, we all have to go. And we don't want to think of it. Because there are times on nights I'm just laying my head on that pillow. And I just talk to my wife and we just say, do you know that we're getting older? Our minute can come in right now. And it can bring you fear. It can paralyze you. But when you have the resurrected life in your heart, when you serve the risen Lord, right away that shadows that fear and it crushes that fear, because you and I are going to be in heaven one day with him. Here are a few options that we need to think about this morning. Either he is God or he's not. Either he rose or he didn't. Either he's the way or not. Either you believe or you don't, but don't gamble with the Easter day. Don't gamble on that. Some people might believe there's no heaven. Some people might believe there's no hell or heaven in this world, and there's no life with Christ. Don't gamble it. Because if there is, we pay a long price. So I'd rather gamble. I'd rather make my odds go to the heaven aspect, because I want to enjoy the piano, the organ, and the dancing, and the food, and the peace. No more pain. No more suffering. No more tears. No more nothing. No more pills. Because you and I are going to be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but I get excited and I just know this is a Pentecostal church, isn't it? Someone watching online might say, that guy's crazy. Why is this resurrection so important? If Jesus hasn't risen in memory in our hearts, if Jesus has not risen, he was just going to be a story, a memory, like another person that dies in your home. An uncle dies, an aunt who dies, a dad who dies, a mom who dies, and you just memorize, and your memory is right there. You always remember yourself their death. But Jesus, not only that he died, but he also raised. People watching online, Muhammad did not raise from the dead. The Bible tells it clearly to me that he is the only one that has risen from the dead. Death cannot hold him down. He conquered death and he is alive today. He is alive and well and ready to remove stones in life, to give you life this morning, to give you life in my heart that has been dead for years. But if he was bodily raised as the scripture tells us, that means that now in the heart of heaven he indwells a physical body. Jesus is there, flesh and bones, as oversees the history and issue this promise. What God did in his grace, God would do with your life. What God did with his body, he would do with your. He will resurrect you this morning. Yes, like I said before, we all face death unless Christ comes first. Do you believe in Jesus? Then you will never die, as the scripture tells us. Our body might decay, but our life, our soul, everything about us, we will be with him one day. Made it very clear to us, Jesus. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, I want to take this moment right now before we go into a conclusion. Just every eye closed for a moment. Every head bowed. If you have come here for the first time and you have not accepted Christ as personal Savior and you want Jesus to come in because you want him to give life what is dead inside and you want to acknowledge that he is the only one, he's the only way, that he's the one who's going to resurrect your life, and you want to serve him with all your life, if there's someone here that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to slip your hand right up and slip it down so fast, and I'm going to pray for you right now. It can be any age. We're not here to embarrass anybody. I just want you to leave this place, and I want to assure myself, and I want to assure everyone here and yourself that you leave this place with the risen Lord. So if there's someone here who has not accepted Christ as their personal Savior, slip your hand up and slip it right down. I want to pray with you. I see that hand. You can put it down. And you're going to repeat after me. We're going to pray together, every head bowed, every eye closed. In Jesus' name I pray. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God, that he came to earth as a man in order to live the sinless life that we cannot live, that he died in our place so that we would not have to pay the penalty we deserve. We confess our past life of sin, living for ourselves and not obeying God. We admit we are ready to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life, forgive me, wash me, and raise me in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to welcome that brother. Welcome to the house of God. You have accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. In Jesus' name, God responded to that. And then we have another group this morning. As the band is going to start coming up, I want to bring it to a conclusion. We have another group. You claim to believe. You claim to make a decision at some point of your life. But if you examine yourself, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't look like you're a believer. You might be living with guilt. You are running away. You're running around like there's no other things. You're waiting for something. Something is happening. But, you know, it's not you. You're doubting more than you're trusting. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Do you believe that he can handle the circumstances of your life this morning? Really, do you believe that he can handle the circumstances of your life? Pay attention for that woman, just that word. Do you believe that he can handle the situation, the circumstances of your life this morning? Do you believe that? Do you believe in the risen Lord? We're not serving a Lord that is dead. We're serving a Lord that is alive today. When you go home, I ask you to take some time this afternoon or later tonight, read Luke 24, Luke, Matthew, or even Matthew 28 and see. This is Luke 20. On Matthew 28, it says that, I'm just going to read it for you. Just on the Sabbath day, on the first day of the week, was dawning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the view of the tomb. Suddenly, there was an earth violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back on the stone and seated on that stone. He was seated on that stone. And you know the rest of the story. He has been resurrected. And I think at this moment that we remember these words when Scripture says in Luke 24 verse 8, you will see it. Next slide, brother. And they remembered His words. You'll see it in Luke 24 verse 8. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The stone has been removed. The resurrection of Jesus' name means He is alive and He is with us today. Death is defeated, and all the questions of your life have an answer to it. Believer, you need to know something. The answer is simple. And if you believe with me this morning, I ask you to stand up right now this morning. Jesus is sufficient. Stand up this morning and just pray to Him. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is amazing. Jesus is everything. Jesus is holy. Jesus is peace. Jesus is the healer. He is the strong tower. He is the reason. He is the only way and the truth and the life. He is my Savior. He is risen and He is alive today. Our Jesus is alive today. Every eye closed. He can remove any stone in your life if you want to let Him do this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And the question he leaves us is this morning. And I want to leave with you this morning this question. Do you believe in this? So if you believe in this morning, let us sing together. And then we're just going to pray and conclude with the word of prayer. Hallelujah. Do you believe in this? Sing it this morning. Hallelujah.